Well, hello.
What's up?
What's up, dude?
Oh, God. No, Ben. Please, none of that.
I have to pee now.
Of course, now. This is when you start.
It's always when you start something, you have to pee.
That's how it is.
Like, right before every track meet, I would have to pee so badly.
Just run and keep the pee inside.
Wait, are you recording through your AirPods? I don't think they'll catch the pee.
Yes, go pee on the podcast, Alec. Okay, welcome back to 4 Idiots and a Microphone. Well, we have a fourth idiot now.
Yay!
And that's you. It's me. I'm the fourth idiot. What?
You're referring to yourself in the third person.
Yes, I'm referring to myself in the third person.
Do you really put that much power in your own name that you refer to yourself in the third person?
I mean, I'm referring to the whole podcast in the third person, so why shouldn't I refer to myself in the third person?
But he's that's four people.
Is that like peeing? Or is that...
What's happening?
I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to assume Alex peeing. It sounds like there's a centipede running across his mic, but...
Sounds like he's got like a box with something in and he's shaking it very rapidly.
Okay.
Alec lives in extreme poverty and has centipedes running over him constantly.
We're going to roll with it. Short introduction because also they didn't mention who I... Oh my goodness. they didn't mention who I was on the last podcast. I'm the fourth idiot. My name is Simon. And yeah, hopefully... The last podcast was a long time ago and I think I had some family shit going on and...
Okay, Simon, tell us something about yourself. Oh, let's keep this going. Let's continue this.
Tell me something about myself.
Introduction.
Well, I'm the only
favorite color.
I don't know my favorite. People have favorite colors. I've always wondered about that. I don't actually have a favorite.
What's
color.
What's your favorite of ice cream?
Blue.
That's a good one. I don't know. Dude, Rocky Road is sick, but I hate the marshmallows.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel that.
Is there a. Okay. Do you disagree with me? I think Rocky Road is great. I think Rocky Road is great. I just think their marshmallows like off-putting. I want a Rocky Road that doesn't have marshmallows in it.
Understandable.
So it's just road.
it's just road. I swear that's an ice cream flavor. I bet you. Like, isn't it like what's in Rocky Road besides marshmallows?
Like, well, there's like rocks? Peanut butter cups and chocolate, like and caramel. What's it? Ripple. And I think a little bit. Yeah.
You know, they put ribs in it?
Caramel ripple. Ribs? No. Beef ribs.
The McRib.
McRib ice cream.
Oh, God. Dude, McDonald's is trying to make a profit and just, like, tie us together their recipes. What's up? McRib ice cream.
Well, they do soft serve already.
Okay, my favorite part of McDonald's right now is McDelivery. The fact that they needed to add a Mc in front of it.
It's the only thing keeping them original at this point.
Yeah, McDelivery. With all the like DoorDash and Uber Eats and Postmates and...
No, definitely... not the delivery, just the name.
Oh, just
that's the only thing original
in front of everything?
Currently.
Hello, please go yes, take a absolutely. Mc shit in the bathroom.
In the Mc bathroom?
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to McDonald's. To your left, you may see the Mc bathroom.
Oh, goodness.
On the right, you may see Mc.
The Mc door.
No, it's just
a
Mc.
Man named Mc just standing there.
Hello, my name is Mc. What if McDonald's wasn't named after, like, somebody named McDonald, but it was named after somebody named Mc?
No, it's named after Ray Kroc, which has nothing to do with McDonald's at all.
What? Wait, are you serious?
You didn't know this?
I did not know
this. No, McDonald's, okay, it's not named after him, but it was created by a guy named Ray Kroc, who has... exactly zero to do with McDonald's, like the name.
That's so weird. Well, thank you. That's now right. Everybody knows.
I always just assumed that like Ray Kroc had like a dysfunctional child that he decided that he needed to give some fame.
So he named the entire restaurant chain after him. Became the biggest restaurant chain in America.
I mean, it's named after like Ronald McDonald, but where did Ronald McDonald come from?
The child, my.
Like, was there a guy?
Maybe it was. Maybe the child was actually a clown, and he needed him to have another job. So he's like, "Okay, we're gonna make a restaurant, and you're gonna be the mascot."
Oh, that'd be epic.
I believe that.
Okay, we just randomly went off on a tangent about McDonald's. Nice.
I think that was a worthy.
That was a worthy tangent. All right, do we want to start with the big one,
no.
Cabin, or something else?
I don't care.
Okay,
let's go with the cabin.
We can start with cabin.
Well, if we're going with the cabin, let's start with the beginning, and let's start with fitting everything in the car.
Oh, the what happened with the TV?
Yeah,
so first, we need a little bit of exposition first.
Yeah.
So, basically, us four all went to a cabin that Alec owns in the middle of the woods.
Alec owns.
Now...
You could, Ben?
No, we're laughing at Alec owning the cabin.
Oh, yeah.
This was in like early June when numbers really started to go down before they went back up. So we were all quite safe together.
We should profess this with the fact that we were quarantined together since the start of quarantine. We weren't really seeing anyone else except for this group.
We were very safe. Now on to the dumb things that happened there. So first off, we were figuring out what to pack. And so Alec goes, "Oh yeah, I have my big TV. We will pack that."
I would like to throw back to the fact that at first I was the only one who was like, "We should definitely bring a TV," and everyone was like, "Maybe we should bring a monitor." And it turned out we probably should have just brought a monitor.
Wait, was Simon the one?
Yeah, who really I was wanted? Like, "I want a TV because just having like a monitor for all of the things would suck." Turns out it didn't suck because we ended up with a monitor. Spoiler alert! But
stop spoiling.
Oh, you don't know why yet. Ben, do you want to explain why we ended up with a monitor, or Alex?
I would like to. Alec, are you still there?
We may have lost.
He has
we
may died.
Have, we, an idiot may have died. Okay,
he is missing in action. Alec is now currently MIA.
Okay.
I can go with the story though, because I feel like apart from Alec, I was the closest one in this story.
True.
So, the issue with getting the TV in the car was that it was already very full, and the issue was that it was all of us trying to separately. We had our own methods of fitting everything into the car. So when it came time to fit the TV and everybody had their own ideas of how it should fit. And the issue was did we have the screen facing down towards the bottom? I think we had the screen facing down.
I wasn't there.
We had a face.
It was resting on a cooler and some other things. And we thought the weight would be distributed and we didn't even put towels on it or anything. We just let it sit, but we left it on top of a cooler on the corner of a cooler. And as we drove, we realized that the TV no longer was alive.
Well, no, what happened was me and you were sitting in the back, and I returned by the way.
I was driving. What do you mean?
Well, yeah, no, me and
Leo, you were, yeah, he was still sitting in the back.
Yeah, I was driving from the back.
Okay, anyway, we were in the back, and I looked back, and I was like, wait a minute. The TV, like, slid down in between the cooler and the tailgate? Whatever, the door.
Yeah.
The big old door thing.
Door.
So it was, like, pinned on this one, like the entire pressure of like the entire TV was pushed into this one corner of the screen. So I was like, oh, there's no way this thing is alive. So we opened the trunk up.
Sure Spoiler enough, alert. It stopped aliving.
Reminder. This was is
just
Alex, like
spider web fracture. Like just the absolutely fucked. We plugged it in after we got home and it was the nastiest. Anyway, it didn't also, work. It was dead.
This entire time I had just gotten back from taking my like the written test to get my license. Like it was on the same day. I can explain the whole license story later because that is a big kerfluffle that Corona screwed me over. But
Corona screwed all over, bud.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Buddy.
You just made me feel very unspecial. Thank you, Alec.
You're welcome.
I'm just like vibing at home, waiting for them to figure their stuff out. And I was like not in a hurry at all. And Ben just texted me, like I just texted Ben, I was like, I'm good. Y'all can come whenever you want. And he was like, okay. And I was like,
No, you said you were gonna be ready in 15 minutes.
Oh yeah, so yeah.
So we all assumed that it meant we need to be at your house in 15 minutes, and we had not started packing the car at that point.
I literally was like, there in Ben's basement.
Simon's only like, he's like probably 10 minutes away though. So it wasn't like it was a really long drive or anything, but it was just, we immediately felt a sense of urgency because we just genuinely forgot that you like had to start getting ready. So we were like, oh no.
And meanwhile, I have no idea what's going on. Meanwhile, I have no idea what's going on until Ben calls me and is just like, we broke Alex's TV. I'm like, what?
We show up at his house and I think like Alec might have been mildly upset because his expensive TV just got broken. But apart from that, we were all just like very frazzled and not ready.
And I'm just like, all normal comes out.
What's up, dude?
What happened? Like,
And I will never forget because Alec has to call his dad now and say, listen,
oh God, this call.
the TV that you warned us and said, you sure that thing will fit? Just broke. And I will never forget what you said. He picks up the phone and Alec, you just go, so does the TV have a warrant?
A warranty. A warrant.
And the TV has a search warrant.
Alec's dad just goes, what'd you do?
What'd you do? And I'm like, well, we may have broken it. And he's like, well, Can't help you there.
Didn't you like punch the his Ben's
He punched
dash?
The car barrier.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What happened was I hung up on the. I finished the call with my dad, and I just like there was like absolute utter silence in the car. Like it was, like you could hear a fucking cricket fly, and those fuckers can't
I don't
even
think
fly.
They, wait, do crickers fly?
No.
Crickers.
Crickers.
Yes, I think crickets do fly. They also like make noises with their wings, and that means that they Thank have you. Wings. So therefore,
oh, that's true.
Therefore, fly.
Yeah.
No.
Therefore, fly.
No, but like I finally just scream "fuck" and just bang my hand on the dashboard as hard as possible.
Oh Lord! And this was before they picked me up, and then they just picked
and
me up.
We went from like
all acting.
What was it? How big was the TV? Was it 50 inches?
42.
Yeah, it's like a general one.
It was such a nice 42
inch TV. It was. We went from 42 inches to 25, and we had. It was not that much of a difference. We could have just started with the 25 and been fine.
I didn't realize how little of a difference it made. Like it was fine. It didn't matter.
Oh yeah, no, it was great. Yeah. And we were afraid that was like a bad omen for this trip, but it was the complete opposite. The trip was spectacular.
It got out all of the bad juju before the trip started.
Exactly, we left all the bad juju behind in Portland.
With that TV, that which sat in my basement for the next week.
Oh yeah.
We should have made it like a memorial. Bury it.
What happened with that? When did you just, like,
I think Alec just has that.
I took it. Well, we left it in your basement. I took it back, and then this is actually the first time I drove my dad. He made me drive it to the Portland dump.
Portland has a dump,
and I was like,
"Yeah, we got a dump."
Yeah, Portland Metro. Yeah,
it's kind of fun. You can just chuck stuff into the giant pile.
It's really, really, it's really entertaining. Yeah, and then occasionally you'll see a giant like
body
rig go by, and you're just like,
you'll see a
giant body. What is this? The Iron Giant? That's a great movie, by the way.
Yes.
Talk about movies later.
Do you want?
No,
to do this
talk about movies later. Finish the cabin.
I don't think
you
want to
do this right now.
The Iron Giant is a good movie. That's not. Like...
No, we're not going to argue about the Iron Giant being. That is genuinely a good movie.
That is just a very
that is
good
not
movie.
What we're going to argue
like,
about.
I hate the Iron Giant.
Dude, I fucking love the Iron Giant.
I watched the Iron Giant so much the VHS started breaking down.
Oh no!
I watched.
I think
it until
Ben likes
thing
it the most.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, and then we just like they pick me up, and I'm like the outlier in this entire group that's acting like very weird. And they explained this all to me, and I was like, oh. It ended up being fine, and they were all very adamant of like let's not ruin the mood and just have fun and worry about it later, which was good.
Gotta preserve
it. Actually ended up being a fun time. Like about an hour later, we were all laughing and playing.
Achie Bones is this? I guess we can consider this the meme of that trip. There's a song.
No. I think someone else.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but.
We can talk about Kajer later. Let's talk about Achie Bones.
Achie Bones is a song that Leo was DJing for the entire car because spoiler alert. Leo's
isn't
music
isn't Achie Bones the
no
the
Achie Bones is the song the group is called the Happy Fits.
Oh.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, and so Leo's music, spoiler alert, is like way more upbeat than the rest of us. So he just DJs a lot of the time because his music is like good vibes and not like it's more
depressing.
It's more
rap.
Upbeat. Yeah,
not
yeah,
depressing.
It's more upbeat than the rest of our music. And so there's this song called Achie Bones. I hate it. It sounds so weird to say it like that.
Yeah, it does. It's not right.
This actually happened later in the trip, I think. Achie. But we were driving back from getting food, and
burritos.
And we're just in the car.
That burrito is so bad.
Wait, no, you're thinking of a different burrito, Alec. You're thinking of the burrito when we went out and got the burritos from the food trucks.
Yeah, these burritos.
Oh
were
yeah, no,
amazing.
The ones
yeah, no, those burritos
like
were amazing. Say, those burritos. Were
that was great. Like the. Like, all of the other food was also amazing, but just because of how different it tasted from all of the homemade meals, that might have been the best part of the trip.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just a well-needed, like, escape from home cooking meals constantly.
Yeah,
definitely.
But basically, like, we're driving back.
Home cooking, it was cabin cooking.
We're driving home back cooking. In the car, and Leo just starts playing Achie Bones again. And I think it was me. I don't actually remember who started it. It might have been me. It might have been Alec, who just looks over at someone and goes, Achie Bones!
I think it was you.
It might have been me. And it just starts this whole thing that has now become the secondary meme because I forgot about Kajer. But yeah.
How could you forget about Kajer?
You cannot forget
slipped
about Kajer.
My mind. What can I say?
Shall we jump directly into Kajer?
Sure.
I think
yes, absolutely.
I think I should talk about Quadra because I was one of the people who was actually watching the episode at first.
No, well, I invented Quadra.
Oh, wait, yeah, we showed Alec the episode.
Wait, oh, yeah.
Yes, I invented Quadra.
I think, no, Simon and I watched it at first.
While yeah, Alec but you didn't, like, you did not make Quadra.
Yeah, and then Alec rewatched. Like, Simon and I thought that Quadra was really funny, but we didn't start making Quadra.
Okay, context. The show Black Mirror.
Black
Quadra. Yes,
it's a great show. We all they introduced me to it. I had never heard of the show, and it sounded kind of whack to me because they explained it as like freestanding episodes that all just have like different plot lines, but they're all kind of creepy.
Like post kind of
just an anthology horror show.
Apocalyptic, but like sometimes
yeah. And there's one episode
they just focus on like futuristic but not so futuristic tech.
There's one episode we won't spoil anything because it's a great show, but there's an episode called Crocodile where there is a guinea pig. And the guinea pigs, we're...
Well, no, can I explain some of the plot?
Because you don't need a plot for this. What do you mean?
You don't. No.
Yes, you do.
We can explain Codger without the plot.
Yeah.
We can just say that
all right, I wish you luck.
Who's instrumental in the story
and
not say anything else. But Codger is very important.
Basically, me and Ben watched this episode of Black Mirror really late at night while everyone else was doing something else. And it was just me and Ben watching it. And we just kind of watched the episode and we're like, wow, this is really good. And we didn't, like... there wasn't a lot of it that was funny. And then we watched it the next day again with Alec, who just brought the crazy energy. And as soon as this guinea pig pops up on screen, you hear them talking about it. And the
they finally mention that the guinea pig's name is Codger. And you just hear me Codger. Go, Codger.
Codger.
We all just started laughing. And then that just kind of came to the end of the trip.
And so Codger, like, you can't really choose a definition for Codger, but think of it as like
say it like that.
It's like the person that everyone loves like so much.
Don't
I think
say
our
like
original
that.
Definition for it was actually the same
important word that you want with the word Codger. You are the Codger of my eye, yeah. The Codger of my life. I would like to call you.
It's a multi-use tool. Am I wrong?
Multi-use Codge.
Codge.
Codger.
I don't know why that reminded me of that Mod Podge stuff that used to put all over those balloons.
Oh, I
you
hate that.
Put all
God
over those
damn
balloons
it.
And make them into like heads and point.
Yeah, paper. Wait, what is that? Is that mache?
Wait,
no. Did y'all never do this? You'd take a balloon and you'd cover it in Mod Podge and then take newspaper and like smear it all over the outside of the balloon. And then you'd pop the balloon once it dried. So you'd have this weird sphere that you could then like put a face on.
Yeah, and you could paint
it. That's not weird. At all.
Yeah, it's like that.
Paper mache, right?
It's mache. It's cool.
Art classes.
I could just do that for parties, and I would make pinatas for birthday parties, and people would hit it, and it'd go,
poing! What kind of shit was a nose pinata?
I rigged the pinatas with explosives.
That is something Ben would do. What's a firework in a pinata?
I rigged them with horns. What if you rigged them with a bunch of like bike horns, so somebody hits it, and they follow you, and you hear,
or like a truck horn.
Yeah.
Like they really agree.
Yeah. Okay, pause. Small side tangent, or maybe not so small.
This is already a side tangent.
we are down the hole.
No, bigger tangent. Bigger tangent.
Tange.
Train horns. Opinions.
What do you mean opinions?
Yes.
Yes.
What do you mean opinions?
Honestly, yes. I kind of agree with Ben. It's a yes for me. They can go to the fire.
Yes,
I think train horns are some of the most expressive things ever. Also, there's a video on YouTube. You can convey so many different emotions through train horns depending on the proximity to the train horn. The closer you are to the train horn, the more emotion is conveyed.
The more emotion
you hear.
So if I'm right in front of let me talk. So if I'm right in front of the horn, like literally like staring down like the barrel of the horn. And it's so loud that it bursts my eardrums and knocks me on my ass. What emotion is that conveying?
I didn't say it was necessarily an emotion. It can be whatever an emotion you want. You get aroused by train horns.
Whatever an emotion.
Maybe you get aroused by train horns.
That's definitely a thing.
I'm already there.
I'm already there.
I am already emotion.
No, but like the sound of a train horn from like a couple miles away is like a very peaceful thing. But the sound of a train horn from a couple feet away is definitely not a peaceful thing.
Yeah, think of it like this.
I don't know if it's peaceful. I think it's still not peaceful a mile away.
No.
I think that's still annoying.
No, listen. If you're like trying to sleep, I have a great comparison. So So there's a train tracks. There's a train tracks. A couple blocks away from my house. Now, if I'm like sleeping in a different room, like if I'm sleeping on my couch and my window's open, you can hear it, and it's like a soft like wah. It's quite nice.
Soft wah.
It's like, listen. It's a nice wah. Like it's like, oh, cool. Life is happening right now. That's pretty neat.
Thank you for that, Randy.
I'm just gonna keep on keeping on. Another time, I was at Outward Bound camp a couple years ago, and we set up camp for the night right next to a set of train tracks, like about 100 feet away. Now, it's like 2 a.m., and all you hear is, bwah!
I live, what, like 3-4 blocks away from train tracks?
That's the max tracks, though.
But there's also train tracks next to them that have, like, cargo trains that just go and horn. That's not enough to keep me awake, but it's enough that, like, if I am awake and I'm going to sleep, I will notice them, but I don't usually get angry at them. I just kind of, like, it's like Leo said, it's just life is going on.
Yeah. There's a vibe there. It's like you're sitting somewhere and it's like...
There's a very big vibe to...
No, but, like, imagine you're, like, in a cabin in the forest and you just...
I'm so sorry to anybody listening to this in a car and just heard me scream... Bah.
Yeah, really close to his mic. Imagine, like, you're in the forest, you're in, like, a cabin, or you're sitting by a campfire, and it's, like, it's rainy and misty out, and it's, like, a good, like, 45 degrees. It's, like, pretty cold out, but you're pretty cozy. And you just hear, like, a faint train horn in the distance. Like, that's a vibe, right?
That is a vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but what if you're me and Hickson late at night. Hickson is my friend, by the way.
Is he?
And is he? We are...
Just questions and... everything you say.
Anyway, me and Hickson were driving down like in the industrial district, and we got caught behind a like the thing lowered, and we were like, oh, this is gonna suck, because we like caught it right at the beginning. So we were waiting there, and the fucking train decides to honk its horn when it is right next to us. Like, we're literally 20 feet from this train, and we had the windows down, and we were just like listening to music talking. And I'm not joking, I couldn't hear myself. Like, I couldn't hear myself talking. I couldn't hear my own ears. Like, it just silences your life for, like, 30 seconds.
I cannot hear my ears.
I mean, they're designed to alert things, like, miles away, so, you know.
But they also alert things 20 feet away.
There should be some technology where, like, the horn is the same... I almost just said the horn is the same horniness. The horn is the same pitch and, like, volume... no matter how far away you are. Like, if you were 2 feet away...
That's not possible.
I said there should be, not there is.
What if there's a frequency where the farther away you are, the frequency, like, goes from an inaudible range to an audible range, so you can only hear it if you're far away?
Wait, that might be possible.
That might be possible.
Like, dog whistles. Like,
once you get to a certain high enough range, things stop being audible.
No, because it doesn't change... Pitch can't change.
We're not talking about pitch.
Let me create...
Frequency can't change.
Let me creative, please.
Frequency can't change.
Go, Ben, go.
What if there was like a technology where you could do that? So the train horn, you can't hear it when it's right next to you, but as the farther away you go, the farther away it gets from you, you can start hearing it more.
I mean, you could.
When you, like, can't hear it because it burst your eardrums.
You can make a Black Mirror episode about that.
Oh, dude! Black Mirror episode just titled "Horn."
Crocodile. I mean, there is one named Crocodile.
Well, that one had nothing to do with crocodiles.
I like how when we first saw Crocodile, exactly. We very. But then our opinions changed on a second viewing, and we realized it was one of the most, like, bland episodes.
Mine opinions have not changed.
Mine kind of did. I think it's kind
of... Well, compare it to Hang the DJ, which I thought was not very good.
Well, it wasn't that... Should we start just talking about
Black Mirror? Which one isn't Hang the DJ?
No, let's just transition to Black Mirror.
Okay.
Hang the DJ, I think, was my least favorite.
Okay.
Was that the one where he, like...
No, Hang the DJ is the dating simulator.
Oh, okay.
The dating simulator?
No, cool.
What's the blackmail one?
I thought it was just nice because it wasn't like Black Mirror. It was just kind of...
Ben is...
Rip in peace. But the reason... Okay, the reason why I don't like Hang the DJ is because, first of all, it's like Ben was about to say. He literally said it's not Black Mirror. And I think if something is like gonna put a more upbeat... not that it's necessarily more upbeat, just that it's not... It doesn't have anything in there that's like... box standard dark. There's nothing that's like, look, this is super dark, or this is super like dystopian. Just, I mean, the idea of it is dystopian, but the feel and the vibe of the episode isn't isn't very.
Oh, there he goes.
And it just kind of feels a lot of the time like you're not watching Black Mirror, you're kind of watching a rom-com. Like,
I can see that. Well, season 4 is a good one. It's got stuff like Archangel and
Archangel was fantastic.
I did not like Archangel.
You didn't like Archangel? Archangel's...
No.
No, you didn't. That's interesting.
What about it?
That was a good one.
I didn't really like it. I just kind of thought it was like sort of meh. I don't know.
We can all agree though.
Black Museum is killer. Us other ones.
Black as Museum is, I think, is the best one.
As disturbing as it is, like with all the death and stuff, well, that's not
that's
that
just
great.
Black Mirror.
Yeah.
I fucking love Black
Museum. Black Museum is probably my favorite.
It's super fucked up, but and I showed my family it, and they were all like, "We gotta stop watching this. It's messed up."
Explain that story where you show them the wrong episode.
So I showed them I showed them the SS Callister, which is like this cool like spoof on Star Trek, which got them an Emmy, Black Mirror, which is really good.
It's a great.
And then I showed them this other one. I forgot what it's called, but basically, it's like where people rate other people out of 5 stars.
Oh god, that one was so good.
It was really like, it was solid, and it's like it makes you uncomfortable because it's like this woman, she has to be like a 3.8 or higher to get in to this place, and she's at like a 4.0 and she's traveling, but her flight gets canceled and she has to be there, and so she starts like freaking out, and so everyone starts just getting her rank lower and lower, and she like is like, I'm gonna make it, and like tries to drive there, and like as her rank just gets lower and lower, and it gets messed up. It was good though.
Wait, am I here?
Yes, you're here.
Yes.
Yay! Oh, I am. Ben's back.
We've been talking. I kept like saying things and nothing happened.
What were you gonna say about Black Museum, Ben? Or not?
I was saying, hey, DJ. I was gonna say like, I didn't mind it because it wasn't trying to be overly Black Mirror-y, but it was just an enjoyable episode and it was more lighthearted. So it wasn't like, there's Black Mirror episodes that try to be horror-y and futuristic-y. Did I say Black Museum instead of Black Mirror?
No. I'm just saying Black Museum is an example of an episode that's very Black Mirror.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying there's ones that try to do that and then don't do it amazingly and they go kind of bland. Like, I thought the dog one was good, but it kind of like, I don't know if I overstayed its welcome, but
you hated that one. I didn't like it very much.
No, I didn't hate it, but like, I just don't. I think it kind of just feels a bit short and bland. I don't know. Like most other stories, they kind of span more time. I feel like we were literally just following this girl around for like 15 minutes.
Wait, hold on, Leo. Did you just say the dog one was confusing? That was like the least confusing of any.
No, yeah, I didn't say
it was straightforward. It was like,
yeah, well,
no, I was the entire time I was thinking, what happened? Why is there? Well, true. I did start watching it like halfway through.
Yeah.
So, like, really, I watched it right as you see, like, the dog start to show up, and I was like, "What happened here? What?" So, I honestly had no idea.
Yeah.
So, I guess I have a good say in that saying it's confusing, but I have a good reason because, you know, I didn't watch all of it.
Yeah. Also, I just think like Black Mirror, the episodes of Black Mirror that we like are the ones that have the really interesting stories that wrap their ways into in themselves and end up with a really cool and like surprising ending.
Well, I like the ones that like the kind of just give you little nods that they kind of are connected to the other episodes. Like Black Museum had a bunch of different nods to other episodes because you could see in the cases and stuff there was a bunch of technology. Like there was the box from the SS Callister, like,
the 3D printer, and there was the.
Although I think Black Museum is the only one that did that.
No, there's other ones.
Oh,
like, it's all by the same company.
Okay. No, the technology company that he worked for, is kind of like the company that does all of the.
It's like the kind Apple of
mind
of
control
Black
tech. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just kind of has a monopoly on all of the different technologies, but they also, it's like Apple if they were really demented and did like. Borderline.
No, like, it's like Activision.
Not demented. It's not demented. It's just like, they do experiments, but they also are making them very consumer available.
Yeah.
So like there's the video game one in the season 5.
Yeah. It's kind of like the opposite of Apple
that one's good.
Where they make their stuff available to the public really early and try to make everything consumer friendly before they've like tested it completely. So a lot of their stuff can be kind of iffy.
It's kind of like Activision.
Was Archangel part of that?
I think it was. It was the same company. It's like they didn't test what would happen over a long time, but they let it to the public, and after a few years, they shut it down.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll ever do an episode where they show the parent company. Because, like,
to be fair, they did make it known that it was a test. Like, she was very the lady was very adamant that it was like a trial run.
I mean, the Archangel is an ethical episode, not a specific issue with the tech. It's an ethical thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Black Mirror. That's our Black Mirror tangent.
I feel like anybody who hasn't seen all these episodes is going to be really lost for that.
Honestly, watch Black Mirror. That should be a priority. Watch Umbrella Academy and watch Black Mirror. Anyone out there?
Everyone's already seen Umbrella Academy.
That's true.
I haven't seen Umbrella Academy.
Also, my opinions may be transitioning because I'm rewatching the first season, and I think I honestly might be more a fan of Diego than Five. I think Five's cool, but I like Diego. Diego's funny.
He's just too hot-headed for me.
I kind of like that. Like, his character is just kind of...
Yeah, like, how you doing?
Yeah.
What?
I was just... What? You guys started talking about a completely different topic.
Oh, yeah, wait, have you not seen any of
How you doing?
Neither Alec or I have.
I couldn't hear you. I was in the conversation.
I was just trying to start a conversation with Alex so we would have two overlapping conversations that the other group had no idea.
That would be horrible. Let's not do that. Okay, we won't go on a whole Umbrella Academy tangent because not all of us have seen it, but suffice to say, watch it. Five is sick, so is Diego.
Does this mean movie opinion time?
Hold on, I gotta tell my pasta story.
Oh yeah, we gotta tell the pasta story. Back to Cabin. Black Mirror also, we watched a lot of Black Mirror Cabin, that's why we went to that, but pasta story.
Yeah, so this was the first night, I think, and there was also the last night. So, I like cooking a lot of pot. I like cooking a lot, and I made a couple dishes of pasta. I'm just going to be quiet. So basically, we were at a higher altitude. And so when you boil water, steam tends to come up a lot. And so we are in this old cabin. And I have this pot of pasta water and it's boiling up. And then the problem is it starts steaming. And I was, that's normal. And it starts steaming a lot. And I go, that's not normal. And then the entire house starts to look like it got like hotboxed.
There's a literal Nimbus cloud forming in our kitchen.
I like Nimbus cloud.
Basically, so,
the entire ceiling was covered in steam.
If you jumped, you could like
when
feel
the steam finally dispersed,
the
it was like there was drops forming.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so that's when I realized, oh god, I got to get rid of this. So I open up the front door. Because basically the front door of this cabin, right as you turn left, the stove is like right next to you. I open up the front door, I take a towel, and I start like fanning all the steam out to the outside. And so there's a picture of me that's just like going crazy with like the towel.
And flailing your towel.
And meanwhile, this entire time he's trying to make mac and cheese.
Yeah, and we're all just
which he did successfully.
Laughing.
May we add that he still did this successfully.
That was some good ass mac and cheese. Although I think it needed salt, and then I put way too much salt in mine. And
Simon destroyed his mac and cheese.
Yeah, I had like a thing. I had my bowl of mac and cheese, and Ben was like, "This needs salt," and I was like, because he just reminded me of it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, right." And I went in like I opened the salt thing and like shook it once, and way more came out than I thought would. And I'm like, I take a bite, and I'm like, I cannot breathe.
Well, and then I took a bite, and I was like, But mine was intact because I did not oversalt mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
The one that I'm proud of, though, was the... Sorry, Alec. The one I was proud of...
It was bland before you salted.
Yeah.
The one that I was really proud of, though, was the coal miner's breakfast that I made that one night. It was basically just carbonara, but with, like, bacon and a lot of pepper. You're supposed to make it over an open fire.
I didn't have any of that. I didn't have any of that until, like, 2 a.m.
Right, because we didn't leave any left for you. And I literally had a bowl of it, and I was walking, like, across the room. And Alec goes, I haven't had any of that yet. And I was like, you are very lucky. And I just gave him the bowl that I had.
It was about to be really bad.
It was delicious.
I was just like spacing out and I didn't even realize. But
also, Alec didn't have any breakfast because all of us just had the leftover carbonara for breakfast. And then, like,
I was,
Alec was very hungry on the drive back because we were driving back around like 2 in the afternoon and we were all like, why are you so hungry? And then we all realized he never had any breakfast and we all did.
And then we went and got Popeyes. That was great.
Oh, Popeyes.
Why are you in such a bad mood, Alec? God.
Yeah, why are you so upset? Why are you so moody?
I also had to clean an empty stomach, which wasn't brave.
Alec, no eat.
Also, this
we did clean up the cabin like a boss, though.
That was great.
Oh, that was a good.
Yeah, no, I told my dad I clean it better than my cousin.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say better than him.
Yeah, I probably did. Honestly,
to be honest, that group also not that group. That trip also introduced me to bratwurst. I never had bratwurst before.
Oh, bratwurst is so
good. Yeah, that was awesome.
And then they made bratwurst, and I was like, "This is sick. I'm gonna eat bratwurst more."
Have you?
I have not yet. I don't have.
Have you? No.
I have not eaten any bratwurst ever since that trip, just because I haven't. That's not been the first thing in my mind. I haven't been like, let's go to the store and get some bratwurst.
It should be.
Eat brat.
Maybe, yeah, maybe I'll make a bratwurst night.
If the first thing on your mind is not wanting to get bratwurst, then you are lying to yourself.
Okay. That way.
Wanting to get bratwurst, it has to be the first thing on your mind.
Also, can we talk about Ben and Alex's like unhealthy obsession with Nidhogg and me not understanding why this game is so good?
Okay, it's wait, can so... I do the... Can
even, I throw, no, even I can say this. It's so good.
Yeah, come on.
Can I throw out a quick explanation of what Nidhogg is?
Yes, do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a like it's mainly a couch co-op video game where it's meant to be played with like people sitting in the same room, where you get a choice of weapons. Every time that you die, you randomly get a weapon, and you have to push the other person. It's like tug of war, but backwards, where you have to push one person to the other side until you kind of push them out of the arena. But the arena is really, really long. So you just kind of keep pushing each other back and forth. It's like a chicken fight, kind of, where you just have to push each other off of the platform, except it's really, really long.
So, that's a good explanation.
And there's swords.
It's really easy as, like, a background game where you can just kind of talk and be funny while also just playing it, because it's so basic, but it's also intricate enough that you can just kind of get really focused and keep a game going for 45 minutes, which... We did.
We've had long games of Nidhogg.
And then they introduced me to this, and they've been so the entire car trip here, they've literally been going, oh my god, we need to show Simon Nidhogg. Oh my god, Nidhogg, guys, it's so good. And I played this for clips, and I'm like, that's it.
Well, I got in a ton of practice, so I hadn't played it either. So they're like, Leah, Nidhogg. So I got in a lot of practice, like the first night. And so I started like getting pretty, like, it's a really easy learning curve, so I got really good at it. And I remember Simon being like, Leo, can I face off against you? I feel like it's going to be hard. I go, yeah, sure. And I just like flawlessly beat him without me dying at all. And that's when Simon was like, oh.
So this is the game,
yeah. My first introduction to the game was just getting absolutely mashed into the ground by Leo. Like, yeah. I never got better.
Simon never improved. The learning curve for Simon was not the same as it was for Leo.
No, definitely not. I mean, I don't really understand, like, where's the... I guess the big brain strategy is just to consistently roll and stab people in the knees.
No, that's not really, like,
nothing. Just, like, move your sword down and stab them in the head.
True.
I don't know if there's a strategy. You just kind of have to know your audience and kind of play to your strengths and to their weaknesses.
Yeah.
But very good game. Right. That was, like, one of our main pastimes.
And then Towerfall also.
Towerfall, okay, I've come around to Towerfall. When I first played it, I was like, this game's kind of weird. I actually do enjoy Towerfall, and it's just as simple as Nidhogg, but there's...
It has really a lot more, like, dimension to it. It feels fun.
I don't think we need to explain that one. That one's not as much as important to the trip as Nidhogg was.
You shoot bows.
You shoot each other with bows and arrows.
Shooty bow. But, like, there's
I have a bow in there!
About 10 different types of arrows, and they have different powers. That's it.
Yeah. And then
should we talk about the watering hole and all of the general water activities?
Oh yes, let's do the story with the old guy in the watering hole.
Oh, that was beautiful.
That was so great. So right up the road.
You want me to do road, it? I know this stuff.
Yeah. I was gonna say my original thing of like, don't go talk to the guy, he's gonna yell at you, and then Alec like just explain it.
So we have the cabin that we stay at is kind of down a little road. There's probably about 30 people on our road, and then it connects to a bigger road, and then if you walk a little bit up that, there's another small road with like 30 people on it. So they're kind of like little neighborhoods. And for a while now, we've known that there is a really well-built dam and just like a perfect little swimming spot in the other neighborhood. So, but we've always felt sort of, there's always been in the back of our minds to swim there because there's a bunch of private property signs around, and you always just kind of feel like you're not really welcome, even though nobody's ever come out and told us to leave. It just feels kind of off. So I finally went up there and for the first time saw a person at their cabin, and I was like, oh my God, this is my chance. So everyone was like, you shouldn't go ask this random man in the woods if you can swim in this river. And I was like, well, Simon. I've never done it before. Yeah, pretty much just Simon. So I walk up there and I strike it off with him. Super nice guy. He's like, yeah, you can do it. I don't really care. And I was like, sick. So we swim down there, and while we're swimming, we're all shirtless swimming in this water.
In his
and this
water.
Guy just comes marching down to the beach and starts like talking about how he used to swim there and used to go skating. And I was like, oh, that's fun. That's
cool. An image I didn't need.
But then exactly. He was super awesome. He basically told us, like, hey, just come swim whenever you guys want. The signs, the private property signs are just there for insurance. Like, if a kid injures himself, the parents can, like, basically do legal stuff towards him and say, like, do some stuff to him. And he's like, yeah, I just had the signs there just to say that.
So that you can call it trespassing. And then they're like, well, shit, we can't really fight that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's our fault now.
So we just got to not get hurt, which is not our specialty.
Yeah.
That's not our specialty at all.
I didn't have faith in humanity, and then Alec was like, let's see if he's nice, and he turned out to be hella nice.
He was lovely.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Great man.
Moral of the story, be nice, get nice.
Yeah, dude, golden rule, or whatever the heck. Isn't that the thing? Treat something.
Treat people how you want to be treated.
Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Like preschool golden rule.
And then afterwards, we took a bath.
What?
Yeah.
Leo and I took a bath. Together.
Oh, yes.
And you blasted Ache Bones in the background.
Yes, I blasted Ache Bones.
That was awesome.
Ben, do you want to talk about the fact that you just got a really cool hoodie?
Oh, no, it's a shirt, but yeah, I do actually. I really want to talk about this shirt. So while this podcast is being recorded, we're not in the same room, by the way. We're all at our own houses, and while this happened, my mom threw a package at me, and it's a shirt that I've been waiting for like 2 weeks, and it looks really cool. This is what you're referring to, Simon, right?
That is what I was referring to. Yes. Okay, what is it? Explain the shirt.
So it's actually the company that Markiplier and Jacksepticeye run called Cloak.
Yeah, Cloak. Yeah.
But the nice thing about Cloak is it's not like built off of any. It's not like referencing them or anything that they do. It's just referencing that it's a cool clothing brand. And this one is it's an astronaut. This is all in the back. The front just says Cloak, but it's like a ripoff of Supreme. But it's in the NASA font because it's a space theme that they did for a while.
Oh, that's cool.
So on the back of it, it's all like mainly, it's like an orange to black where it's like black and white, but instead of white, it's orange. So it's like that kind of vibe with a photo of an astronaut standing there, but then a bunch of it's highlighted in purple, which like really contrasts.
And that's whack.
Yeah, it's really cool looking. And then it says Cloak on it, on the front, and it says Cloak on the back again. And then underneath it says Cloak and then the phone number, which I don't know where it goes, but I'm assuming it goes to the Cloak company. And then their main thing is just saying hidden in plain sight because it's a cloak. Like, it's not, this is a t-shirt, not a cloak, but their brand is Cloak. And that's
why don't they just release a cloak with nothing on it? And it's just
they do have Cloak. Yeah, they release Cloak. They actually do have those. And that's, then
they're like ponchos.
And then its mission out there is like their current release. And they have that same string of information on the front, like going down the side in white. It's really cool. It was kind of spendy, cool. But I really, really enjoy this shirt. And
Alec, what did you just get
for your birthday? Get something? Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, yeah, the Antisocial Social Club thing.
Is Alec here?
Alec
disappeared.
Alec left again. Well, I can say something I got a couple days ago. So I am a big...
Oh, what? I'm here.
Antisocial Social Club.
I'm here. Antisocial Club?
Yeah, the story of your brother getting you that.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, I just got... Okay, so my birthday was a couple days ago, August 3rd, woohoo. And my brother... Well, we watched a while ago, like a month ago, we watched King of Staten Island, and in that movie, the main character wears an ASSC shirt, and I was like, that's so cool. And my brother was like, he, birthday time. So he, like, heard that, and then a month later bought me an ASSC shirt. So, but it was off a site I'd never heard of. It was actually just a resale site. It was fine. But there was, like, a split second where...
It wasn't a split second. It was, like...
It was, like, a good 10 hours where I was, like, I was very sure it was a fake. And Aiden was very sad. Aiden's my brother. He was very sad. And
I'm not, like, trying to find out ways to make
and then it, like, it and then we finally got here and I looked at the site and I was like, oh, this is definitely real. Awesome.
It was very real, but it was very old, so he didn't realize that it was actually from
the it's not very old. It was a 2018.
Well, old enough that it wasn't in like their current rotation, so you didn't know from the company is what I meant.
And I looked through their current couple rotations and I was like, oh, that's a fake. And then I was like, oh, it's just old.
It turned out to be fine. It turned out it worked out fine.
It was quite lovely. Mm-hmm.
I just bought NF merch. That's it. I don't have an interesting story behind mine.
Oh my god, Limbo. I bought merch.
Oh, you bought Limbo merch?
Already? Cool. It's been out for a day, bro.
The merch has been out for a week.
Oh, I bought merch a month ago.
Oh, okay. He released merch before he released the album?
That's funny. The merch shipped.
I've never mentioned who released merch for Limbo, just the fact that it exists.
Amine.
Shut up.
Amine, it's off his store. Yeah.
That's pretty rad. It's such
a good album, dude. Oh my god. This is so good.
I'm a huge vinyl collector, so like I have a record player, speaker system with a bunch of vinyls.
You sold vinyls for that album, Leo.
Cool. I don't really care about Amine that much. Not gonna lie, it's not my style. It's
so good.
I know. I might give the album a try though. But
there's a few songs in there you really enjoy. Like it's more R&B kind of.
Nice.
It's like a little bit more soul oriented.
Because right now I'm going through a phase right now of soul and like a lot of like Philadelphia soul. So Duran Jones and the Indications is a big one I really like. But one of my favorite bands is they're called Black Pumas. They just performed on Jimmy Fallon.
All of those are tangent, but all of them
aren't Pumas already black?
Shut up.
What?
No, that's a panther. That's a panther. And panthers are just leopards. Black panthers are actually just a genetically recessive gene of leopards. That's what black panthers are. It's not actually a different species. Anyway,
it's like blue eyes, but like less
common. Yeah. Anyway, all of those performances that ever happen on Jimmy Fallon, I have never seen one where they actually perform it good because there's so much pressure.
Oh my god, the Little Pump one, dude.
Oh, Little Pump did it?
Oh, the Little Pump one was so bad.
They don't have an actual recording studio, so the sound quality is always crap, and they always have like...
Little Pump and Kanye were really funny. God.
Dude, look at the Black Pumas Colors show. They just did it. They did it like a couple months ago, and it is killer. But anyway, I got their box set vinyl. Well, not their box. I got their double LP vinyl, which I'm really happy about because it sold gold like within a week, and it was their debut album. They got nominated for a Grammy for it. So I got a golden vinyl.
Oh shit!
And then I got a second one, which is red and black mix, and then a 7-inch LP.
What any of that meant, but
basically, I got two big ones and one little one.
Nice.
I'll send you guys a picture of what it looks like later, but it was super awesome. And yeah, look up Colors by Black Pumas if you want to vibe, because it is intense.
What's the merch for Amine's new album?
Oh, it's the name of his album is Limbo, so it's all kind of limbo themed. So
limbo
themed. It's actually not in any way related to the word limbo. Basically, the whole branding is that it's just the word limbo on a tennis ball.
That's cool.
So, yeah. So, he released a pair of sweatpants that I bought that are just three of the tennis ball logos down the pant leg. It looks really sick.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. But because it's limbo, I'll get them sooner or later. I don't know. Like, the actual, like, actually limboing is, like, how low can you go? I think, like, kind of, like, the reason that the logo looks so weird is because it's trying to, like, it starts at a normal width in the letters, and then as the letters go along, like it goes from a normal L, and the M gets longer, and the B gets longer, and the O is really long. So it's, I think it's kind of playing off of like, how low will you go? Because it's limbo.
I was never very good at limbo.
Me either.
How low could you go?
Five.
No.
maybe
I played. I just like. When I played, I didn't play it correctly because everyone in my friend group was stupid. So we just all like laid down and saw how like small we could make ourselves.
I didn't play it correctly. I like that.
Suck in and.
Yeah, just like suck it in. And obviously all the boys won because girls have titties.
Nice.
Girls have titties.
I feel like we should round out our cabin conversation.
Wait. I just want to say that I feel like that's a really good like message for life. Boys win. Boys can go lower because girls have titties.
Why is that a good message for life?
Why is that a good message for life?
Okay, Ben.
That's sexist.
We're just going to roll with that.
You know?
Whatever.
We've been going about 50 minutes. I think we're about ready to start wrapping up.
Do we want to talk about movies or should we save this for a different podcast?
Save that one for a different one. Hopefully we can actually like have a schedule.
I mean, hey, I had a schedule. Y'all are just low effort.
Oh,
you want to blame it on us?
Hey, I told Ben to make an outline this morning. What do you mean?
I did. You just used a different one.
Okay. Do we want to do some work stories just to finish it off?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Well, I haven't been working at all because I work at a roller rink and, you know.
COVID did.
Gunner, Alec, when do you two go?
I work at Fred Meyer.
Ben, you want to go first?
I push shopping cart. I put cart back in store. So I basically make everyone's convenience better by putting all the carts back in the store so y'all don't have to, like, walk scouring the parking lot for stuff that people just, like, left along the parking lot. I make your lives easier. You're welcome.
Got any stories?
Oh, I had the biggest fucking Karen come through the drive-thru, dude.
Do it.
Like, the literal definition of a Karen. I was, okay. In case you didn't listen to the previous one, because whatever. I work at a McDonald's, and I am often put on drive-thru window. So I have to take all of y'all's stupid fucking orders. I had a guy come through and ask for a cheeseburger with no cheese. You fucking idiot.
That's me, though. I would do that.
You should get a cheeseburger with
no
cheese.
Yeah. I also had a lady come through and ask to put to take off the fudge topping in a sundae and put caramel on it.
Oh, but that's like, epic, though.
That's just a caramel sundae.
Oh, okay. I was just
we literally have caramel sundaes.
Can you tell? Would I be able to tell y'all to put caramel on my fudge sundae?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. That's kind of like.
But taking off the caramel, or taking off the fudge and putting caramel on a fudge sundae is the most like stupid order you can make. Anyway, but this Karen comes through. She, first of all, she has like six kids in the back, and while I'm taking her order, this small girl is like screaming at the top of her lungs, and I have to like hold the mic off my ear so I don't pierce my eardrums. So I really can only hear half the order, so I have to like confirm everything. And she ordered like four Happy Meals, but each one was a little bit different. So she was like, all right, I want four cheeseburger Happy Meals. And I was like, okay, cool. And you're four of them. But I want one of them with no cheese. And I was like, okay, so just a hamburger. I want one of them with four-piece nuggets. And I was like, wait, but you just ordered four cheeseburger. Okay. And then it progressively just evolved to the point where she was getting confused with her own order. So I was like, okay, listen, just pull the first window. I'll talk to you in person. We'll get this figured out. She pulls up. I have to get on the mic and tell the person behind her to wait because if you have her come through or come forward, you can't take another order. She pulls forward and she was like, actually, can I take like half that off? And by the way the McDonald's works is the second you put the food in, the cooks can see it to try and make things faster. So if you decide you don't want something about 30 seconds through an order, there's a good chance the cooks have either started making it or already made some, like, or already made it. So after this lady spends like 5 minutes not really knowing what she wants, the cooks have already made a good chunk of her food. So she comes up, asks for like half of it to get taken off. And I'm just like so done with this person. So she finally ends the order with like two Happy Meals and a cheeseburger, no cheese. And
cheeseburger, no cheese.
So dumb. And then she finally, to top it off, at the very end, said, what's your name? And I'm like, Alec. And she's like, I'm going to call the store and talk to your manager. This was not a pleasurable experience. And I'm like, I will jump through this window. And I don't enjoy people like that. Don't do that, please.
I have one funny, like, it's not a story, but it's like, something that happens a lot at work that I find really comical. So, at Fred Meyer, the way that one Maya. Of the things that I have to do is what they call go backs, where when somebody doesn't want what they have bought, but it's like a perishable, so it's like food, it's like meat, or it's something that has to be put in a freezer, or has to stay cold, or else it will go bad, or has to go back to the deli. I have to take it back for them to make the experience better for the cashier and the customer. But, like, the funniest thing is there was one time where somebody just decided they didn't want any of their food, and they left. So I come back to an entire, like, it was one of the short, like, double-decker shopping carts, and it was just full. And I was like, wait, all of this? And they were like, yes,
what?
All of this.
So oh, the other thing is if people can't pay, that sucks.
Yeah, I think it was probably because there was a long line, and because of the virus, the person was like, I don't feel safe waiting with this many people around me for this long, like, which I understand.
That's so
But at
dumb.
The same time, like, you could have, like, ordered this online or had it delivered or done something else. Yeah, they do online pickup and they do delivery.
That's kind of epic.
Yeah, we have people who, like, their job is to pick out stuff so that the delivery people can just, like, come to the store, grab it, and go.
And so now Ben's just self-promoting Fred Meyer.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by Fred Meyer. We're not sponsored by Fred Meyer.
We're not sponsored by Fred Meyer, and don't mention my name because it does nothing.
I don't... Go to Fred Meyer and be like, fire Ben Franson. Do it.
You weren't supposed to say that.
You're going to get the equivalent of, like, Yelp one-starring, where they, like, will go through and just review bomb.
Is there a person...
But, like, they're going to call the store and tell Ben Franson to stop working.
Is there a person who's under the age of 50 who uses Yelp?
No.
Like, Yelp is boomer only.
I love when you, like, when you find some really random, like, basically, like, I love the reviews of 7-Eleven that are, like, really in-depth. They're like, the cashier was a bit bland today. My Slurpee wasn't amazing. Could have used more salt. Personally, I feel like my chips were a little stale. I don't know. The overall user experience was a little bit bad.
Alec, you remember when we were looking for places to eat, and I was like, let's just go to Popeyes. And I go, I read this, like, I just, like, find a Popeyes near me. Go, and, like, I can see the review page, and it's just, like, paragraphs and paragraphs of this woman writing about her Popeyes experience.
That's beautiful.
I just love people that do that, man. It's so funny.
Like, how in-depth can you go?
Very.
You know,
I got a chicken sandwich. Caloric.
Nice.
How do you feel about chicken?
I don't know. I like chicken.
Chicken good.
Chicken's pretty
rad. Chicken's pretty good.
You know, there's that thing where they took a chicken and they had the people eat chicken nuggets while staring at the chicken that the chicken nuggets came from?
Wait, how is the chicken alive then?
They took chicken DNA and then they grew chicken with the chicken DNA.
I've actually heard about this.
I would
you
feel
think
much
I'm joking?
Too much.
I would think I'm less bad. That's, like, were they trying to make them go vegan or feel bad about eating meat?
No, they were just saying they took a chicken, they named it Ian, and then they... They took this chicken and they took his feather DNA and they put it in, like, a test tube, and they grew meat. They grew the meat of the chicken with these, like, special sciencey things, and they made the chicken meat grow a chicken nugget, like several chicken nuggets, and then they fried them and they made, like, chicken nuggets, and then they put the chicken on a table next to the chicken in chicken nugget form and then made people eat the chicken nuggets while staring at the
chicken.
What
is that game?
It was mostly just to see that they could do that they could make a chicken.
First science!
Yeah.
That's a very good tidbit to
have. It was just really funny because it's just Ian sitting in the grass and then people eating Ian.
Hello, you are now eating Ian.
Okay.
It's like hold on, it's like that episode of Portlandia, the first episode where they get the chicken's profile and they are like, I think we should take a trip to see where this chicken came from. And so they go there and they end up spending like 10 years together on like this chicken farm. Have you guys ever seen Portlandia?
No. I've heard a lot about it, but I've always heard that it's like, you know, what's the slogan? Like, put a bird on it or something like that?
Yeah, put a bird on it.
Yeah. I've heard some stuff about it. I've never seen it.
Okay. That's a show y'all should watch. It's funny. It's like a fun
nugget, dude.
Y'all have
a checklist. It's like a fun. Huh?
Y'all have a checklist. Black Mirror, Umbrella Academy, and now Portlandia.
Yeah. Well, Portlandia is kind of one of those that you can watch when you're, like, really tired and, like, you don't really need to understand it.
Can I watch it while also doing something else?
No.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Denied.
All right, well.
All right. We've been going almost an hour. I think that was a good episode.
We're going to try to make sure that all four of us are here for future podcasts, and hopefully
I feel like now that we have had the four, we can start doing, like, different subdivisions and just kind of hang out and talk about more specific stories without having the other people sit around and just, like, listen.
Yeah.
And guests. I want guests.
That'd be fun. We'll try to do it more often because I know it's been a while. I tried to get them to do it for a long time. They didn't want to. And then finally it happened.
We are sorry if there's any weird audio stuff this time around. Last time there was some weird crackling. If you hear, like, the ba-lum, ba-lum of people coming and going, mostly Alec because
I
his phone
left
is
and rejoined like three times in the
whatever,
middle of that.
Whatever.
Black
it doesn't section. Matter. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's
very important that everybody
it
knows
is,
this.
It is what it is.
I'm important.
Yes. All right. Cool. That this has been podcast number two. Thanks for watching, y'all.
Thank
podcast.
You.
Podcast.
Toodles.
I do those.